From fixer upper to flipper flop, from good bones to hometown, from property brothers to income property, from rehab addict to love it or list it, renovations are all the rave for millions of television viewers today. Now, I enjoy all of those shows and more, largely because of my love for architecture. Before pursuing the ministry, I had every intention of becoming an architect. I switched when I had the blueprints for my life all laid out, and I took them to the Lord and asked for His stamp of approval. It was then that I clearly heard Him say, number one, I'm not in the plan stamping business. I have a plan for your life. How many of you know that verse, Jeremiah 29:11? A plan to do you good and not harm. A plan to give you hope and future. And number two, if you want to follow my plan for your life, I would like for you to change from designing houses to helping me design homes. I'd like to think that together we've been doing that for some of 40 years in ministry. With all the interest in the renovation of sometimes old and sometimes neglected, sometimes abandoned and sometimes condemned houses, I'm convinced the greater interest should be on our sometimes neglected, sometimes broken, sometimes abandoned, and sometimes struggling homes. So today we begin a 6-week series on Marriage and the Family 101. Let me begin this series by saying that we are keenly aware that many things, unexpected, unplanned, uninvited, and unwanted, have affected many marriages and families in our church body. They have left you to deal almost daily with unforeseen challenges, doubts, and struggles, attacking you mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, and sometimes even in your face. For some, these issues have caused you to worry, to doubt, to blame, leaving you angry and confused and wondering what is your next step. And we understand that all these are real situations for many, too many. We are also aware that there are many single and single again men and women in our church family. We have widows and widowers, grandparents raising their grandchildren, and blended families. We will do our best throughout this series to remain sensitive to you and your needs too, as we look at the biblical basics for both marriage and the family. So, whether you are married, single, widowed, divorced, thinking of getting married, or been married for 47 years, like Barbie and I. Can you believe anybody can live with me for 47 years? God bless you, woman. God bless you, woman. Or, if you were born married, like Leon and Jeanette Eisenhower. Who, by the way, last Sunday celebrated 63 years of marriage. Belated congratulations. So wherever you fit into the spectrum, this series will have something for everyone. Today we begin with family renovations. Many things, too many to mention, let alone address them all, have swept over our nation and sadly infiltrated many of our churches that have been nothing short of attacks on traditional marriage and the family, redefining them with an agenda to destroy them both. These assaults are driven by godlessness and greed. They are coming at us legally through our courts, as well as socially through social media and an array of distorted news outlets, falsely citing polls of 300 or less people saying they are representative of all Americans to support their numbers. Ephesians 4 could have been written to the church just last night. Beginning at verse 17 of Ephesians 4, the NIV reads, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord." Catch that mood there? Insist on it in the Lord. "You must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Let's give them a moment here. Thank you, guys. You guys. Wonderful to be a part of a family that takes care of each other, isn't it? Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. I know you're just dying to hear how the message says that passage. So here goes. And so I insist, and God backs me up on this. I like that. I insist, and God backs me up on this, that there be no going along with the crowd, the empty-headed, mindless crowd. They have refused for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch not only with God, but with reality itself. They can't think straight anymore. Feeling no pain, they let themselves go in sexual obsession, addicted to every sort of perversion. But that's no life for you. You learn Christ. My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to Him, been well instructed in the truth precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces His character in you. Well, as we said, we cannot address all the issues of our day, but we will highlight a couple of basic foundational issues this morning. As we begin our family renovations, let me say, first of all, there has been a loss of reverence for God. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." A few chapters later, the Proverb writer says in 14:27, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death." As a nation, we have ignored the rules because we have lost respect for the ruler. In our culture, much of the time, God is ridiculed. And in many facets of life, God has been kicked out. And we invoke His name only in vain. When this country was founded, honor and respect for God was the cornerstone of this nation. Our city councils opened their meetings with prayer. School began with the Pledge of Allegiance. We sang Christmas carols and we had a Christmas break. And the Gideons passed out New Testaments to all fifth graders. Today we have removed God from the schoolhouse, the courthouse, and the workplace. We have prohibited His name from graduations and sporting events, and we want to remove Him from our currency and our Pledge of Allegiance. Prayer has been banned. The Ten Commandments have been removed. Prayer has been censored. The Bible has been barred, and God has been expelled. And while we can easily point our fingers at the government, the truth is we have also lost reverence for God in the home. In most homes, the dad is missing. And when he is there, he's not the spiritual leader. Dad, just ask yourself, when was the last time you led your family in prayer? When was the last time you led your family in a devotion? Now, those of you who do, and there are many in this room, those of you who do know what an impact it has on your wife and your kids. Dads, do you lead your family in prayer when you go out to eat? This past Wednesday, Barbie and Davy and I ate at Filippo's. How many of you eat there? That's good eating, isn't it? When our food came, we held hands there at the table and bowed to give thanks. A moment later, the lady sitting at the table adjacent to us leaned over Barbie's shoulder and said, "Amen." Moms are overworked, sometimes working two jobs and keeping up with the home, the kids, the housework, the meals, and the laundry. She's a family doctor, the family accountant, the family chauffeur, and too many of them are doing it as single moms. She's left to fill the spiritual void in the home, taking the kids to church, finding the extra funds for mission trips and youth outings, having prayer at meals, but little or no time for family devotions or personal prayer life for herself. Reverence for God in the home must be taught, and it must be lived out loud in front of the kids. As most of you know, I drive a school bus for Muhammad. I have a bus full of first through fifth graders. Many of them are excellent kids. Some of them are more mature than their parents. You know what I mean, don't you? But you would only have to ride that bus one time to realize many of them have no reverence for God in their home. So husbands and wives, parents and children, let's start our renovations there. Let's put reverence for God back in our marriages and back into our families. Let's clean up our language. Let's balance our time to include family time and time for God. Secondly, let me say foundationally, we have abandoned moral absolutes. Romans 1:25 says, "They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator." Tolerance is today's national truth. Tolerance says everyone has the right to decide what is moral and true for themselves, and what is true for one may not be true for another. To make matters even worse, now it comes down to how you feel and how you identify, day by day and even moment by moment. The deceitfulness and treachery of that philosophy has never been seen more clearly in our time than how we have blurred the lines of masculinity and femininity. American society sees nothing wrong with men who identify as women using the women's restrooms, women's changing rooms, women's showers, because today gender is self-identity, not biological. The Bible says God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. I've looked at it again and again and again, and nowhere does it say, But if you get confused by that, just pick which one you want. But since we have discarded the Bible and have exchanged the truth for a lie, we have radically redefined man and woman. And now everyone is transgender and you can be whatever you want to be. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1 and start reading with me there at verse 25. We just quoted that one a moment ago, but look at this dissertation, as it were, that Paul continues with. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 25. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. The result of that was they worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator. We have lost reverence for God, who is forever praised. Amen. Verse 26 says, because of this, because we have exchanged the truth about God for the lie, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Four times throughout this passage, you'll see that God gave them over, God gave them over, God gave them up, God gave them over. It's as if God said, fine, if that's what you want, knock yourself out. And then come back and tell me later how it worked out for you. I don't know about you, but I really don't want God to say to me, okay, fine, try it your way. If you think you know better, if you think you don't need me, if you think I am out of date and old-fashioned and irrelevant, go ahead, try it your way. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural, see that word, natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity. Now that means loyalty. They have no loyalty, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Could that have been written yesterday or what? In our marriages and in our families, we must not buy into this lie. We must hold to the truths of God in our marriages, and we must teach them to our children. Any facsimile of God's truth is being challenged every day in the workplace, at school, and sadly, even in some churches. We have exchanged the truth about God for a lie. And the lie seems to be winning in courts, in the schools, and in the streets. We must be grounded in our faith, armed with knowledge of the truth, and be on guard and alert to the devil's schemes. But let me say, praise the Lord, in many arenas today, more and more, we're seeing people willing to stand up for God and fight for God and stand firm in His truth. While a few students are eating Tide Pods and snorting condoms and protesting things they know little about but feel strongly about, the vast majority are speaking out and living their faith out loud. More than ever, student and professional athletes alike give public praise and glory to God. And have you noticed this lately? They do it while the camera's on them and the stupid people who ask the dumbest questions have the microphone in their face. They do it right then and there and they say, well, I just have to say thank you, Jesus, for the talent He's given me and this opportunity. Praise God for this, that, and the other. And they do it with the cameras running live and they can't edit it. You notice that? Because so many times when somebody says something and it gets to the news, it gets cut. But they're saying it all the time. They're even saying it as game show contestants. We were watching, what was it, The Chase the other day? Any of you watch The Chase with the Beast? He's as smart as I am. I love this guy. And then some. And then a whole lot. But one of the contestants, the Beast, had asked him something along the lines about, you know, why do you think you can beat me and all that? And he said, well, God has just gifted me with information. But more and more, talent competitions, how many of the new talent shows or continuing talent shows, The Voice, America's Got Talent, American Idol, others, contestants are just praising the Lord, singing songs to Him now. Teens and adults are using social media to lift up the name of Jesus. And amazingly, even some of Hollywood's elite are finally testifying to their long marriages and their faith in God publicly. 1 Kings chapter 2 opens with this scene. When the time drew near for David to die. Now that's King David, not me, okay? When the time drew near for David to die, he gave a charge to Solomon, his son. Father, son, I'm dying. This is my charge to you, son. This is what I want you to hear. I'm about to go the way of all the earth, he said. So be strong. Act like a man. Observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to Him and keep His decrees and commands, His laws and regulations as it is written in the law of Moses. Son, do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go. The King James Version says, be strong therefore and show yourself a man. And the Message says, but you be strong and show what you're made of. We need a lot more dads to say that to their sons. Be a man. And the way to be a man is to be obedient to God. Parents, the church can help you with that. But it starts at home. Teach your children there is right and wrong. And teach them the difference. Teach them that just because everybody is doing it doesn't make it right. Teach them that just because something is now legal, it is not moral. Teach them that just because you have a right to do something doesn't mean it is right to do it. According to the Wall Street Journal, not a Christian publication, according to the Wall Street Journal, American parents spend on average less than 15 minutes a week in serious discussion with their children. All the while, their children spend 7 hours a day at school and an average of 9 hours a day on their iPhones. They're texting, Facebooking, on Twitter, posting selfies, playing games, sharing everything with everyone except their families. And adults are just as bad. Saw a picture the other day of a mom sitting on a park bench. Evidently, one of her older kids was playing in the playground. She's sitting here texting, and there's a baby down on the ground. She has no idea what's going on with either one of them. Many have given in, many have given up. Many believe redeeming our marriages and our families are impossible. But for Christians, that pessimism is tragic. It reveals a lack of faith in the power of God, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, is alive in us. Christians who are controlled by unbelief will never see God work in and through their lives or their families. I know sometimes it seems overwhelming, but let me close by saying there is hope. I believe there is a solution, but we definitely need to begin with some family renovations. If you and I will submit ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, accept His Word as our only true guide for faith and practice personally and in our homes, then we will have taken the first step of returning reverence for God to our marriages and to our families. If we will not buy into the lie and instead hold to the truth of God, then when every voice is calling for compromise, we will stand for truth, we will stand for Christ, we will stand for our marriage, and we will stand for our family. If you're thinking of getting married, you make sure the mate you choose will share your life with your God as well as your family. Be sure your life mate will share your lifelong journey holding on to the truth of God. If you're struggling in your marriage and or your family life, a biblical renovation is what you need. That will begin with you personally, giving God first place in your life. And doing for your family and doing for your marriage what is right. There is right and wrong. And I think by and large, we know the difference. Perhaps today you need to begin your renovations in that reverence for God in your life personally. You put Him first in your life, and then the other things about your life, your marriage, your family, your work, your church, even your recreation, will fall into proper perspective and place. Father God, this morning, we all need some renovations. There's none righteous, no, not one. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. But we have a shepherd that continues to guide us in truth. Help us, Father, to not exchange You for anything. I know many people in the world today don't buy this religion stuff, don't buy this God stuff, don't believe the Bible. But I do. And You've never once told me I have to answer for the rest of the world. I just have to help share the answer with the rest of the world. If they accept it or not, that's between them and You. But I am responsible for me and my house. Let me and many others join me this morning in saying with Joshua of old, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.